Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
.7 million people now have filed for unemployment insurance just since March 12th. They have distributed over $6 billion of benefits, $1.2 billion just yesterday.
All right, California battling the coronavirus. That's the governor, Gavin Newsom, talking about money and where it's being dispersed. California also closing all beaches after crowds ignored social distancing rules, saying enough is enough. And hospitalizations hit a single-day high in one county in California. This is the kind of news that we're seeing coming out of a lot of pockets in the U.S. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you're doing well in your little nook and cranny, wherever that might be, while you listen to this show. By the way, the coronavirus patients, we're talking about Orange County, California, their record single-day high. They reported 42 total deaths, but it included, just a day ago, 74 cases in the intensive care unit and 178 people hospitalized, all totaled coming out of that. The latest numbers for the coronavirus, which I just got in 15 minutes ago, is being updated. The number of deaths, 61,472. The number recovered, double that, 123,000. The number of confirmed cases, 1.6 million. So that's where we're at as a nation, 1.6 million. The fight continues over when to open. Shouldn't we already be open? Arguments over the economy, especially when you look at down 4.8% when you look at the first quarter. That's when we really got slammed with the virus and stay-at-home orders fell into play and social distancing and a whole new way of life. 90% of the companies polled in one business news survey said that they hope to be open by at least the beginning of June. Hoped to be open. Still, there are many events that are being canceled that are in June, July, throughout the rest of the summer. A lot of people counting on a fantastic fall. And these are questions that I cannot answer and the doctors can't answer and the scientists can't answer. Except we can say remdesivir seems to be a little bit maybe of a miracle drug. Dr. Fauci, who is the nation's top infectious doctor, feels really good about what's happened in testing patients who have taken it and how quickly they've bounced back from it. The FDA is cautious but completely looking at it. There's more tests going on. Anything that we can grab onto with this virus where it slows things down, gets people healthier, that's a good thing. So Fauci cheering hard, the president cheering hard for what they saw and what they heard with the data about remdesivir, that it has a significant positive effect in diminishing the time to recover. Because you look at the recovery time and you look at people sometimes that are hospitalized for 3 weeks or even a month, and how are they coming out of this? So that positive effect and the diminishing time that you need to recover is something that clearly they want to keep looking at and pushing as fast as they can as something to be used as an element of treatment. It's an experimental drug that helps patients recover more quickly than standard care. So that does suggest and points to that it could become the first effective treatment for an illness that has turned us inside out and every which way but loose. Right? There were about 1,000 patients internationally, and they compared their treatment along with a placebo. Patients who got the drug recovered in an average of 11 days, those who got the placebo, 15. In the United States, the results were even more significant. So the White House Task Force, they are absolutely looking at remdesivir as something that can help patients with a good outcome that have COVID-19. There are no approved treatments or vaccines for this highly contagious novel coronavirus, but a lot of approaches are being tried while waiting to see this, of this vaccine, this effective vaccine that could prevent the infection by the virus. At least we do have some slimmer and glimmer of hope. And this will help open the economy, I would think, and get people back to work. With a good promise in the drug trials and what it's done for people in their recovery time, because that's what we're seeing, that ticks away very, very, very slowly. By the way, while the governor of Florida, DeSantis, is saying it's a slow rollout, they're figuring it all out as you go along, a task force in Orange County, Florida, has advised Walt Disney and Universal Studios to reopen for business at their own discretion. That they can decide, they can look at the guidelines, they can make the decision as to what they need to follow to protect the life and health and safety of their employees and, of course, all the guests that come in. What's tricky is with people going out there, which you want and need, then the liability issue comes up and fears over, well, whose problem is it if people get sick while they're at our theme park? People want to be shielded, business people want to be shielded from potential lawsuits brought out by customers and, of course, even sick workers. So now this is part of the debate in Congress. And the next coronavirus relief bill is, I want to say, number 5. But looking at casinos, the safety of returning workers has dominated union negotiations between casino workers and their employers, of course, in Las Vegas. So this is what we look at day in and day out. Who's doing what? Who's pushing the envelope? Who's trying to get things opened? The Missouri Chamber of Commerce and Industry is pushing the Republican-led state legislature, rather, to expand protections from liability lawsuits to the obvious folks, manufacturers, business, healthcare workers, first responders. Mississippi and North Carolina are considering similar protections for business, not being concerned about liability from, let's just say, opportunistic types that might try to find some kind of a hole in the operation and then turn around and sue them for trying to do the right thing. It's like we see meat processing plants. The president ordered them to stay open 2 days ago because would there be a breakdown of the nation's food supply? There's a good chance that could happen. So in order to avoid the panic, slap the executive order on it. It's about the numbers, another version of We Can Count.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking processing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The number of Americans filing new jobless claims spiked up. Looking like it might drop, it went in the opposite direction. Economists are saying the Labor Department is going to report on Thursday that 3.5 million Americans filed initial applications for unemployment insurance last week. While it is slightly down from the 4.4 million claims the week before and the all-time high, of course, of 6.86 million applications filed in late March, it means that if you look at all these numbers, 30 million Americans have applied for unemployment in 6 weeks. That is a breathtaking, crazy, insane number, and certainly exceeds all the jobs created since the Great Recession. People are waiting in line, social distancing, but doing whatever they have to do to get the paperwork in. And many of the people who applied for unemployment insurance lost work weeks ago were only able to file claims because the state system in lots of different states have been smashed, bogged down, immobilized by the unprecedented number of apps. And then, of course, you have layoffs and furloughs, and the business struggle is real, very, very real in trying to keep it together. Very tough. I love this. Walmart workers are calling out of work because they're using trackers to protect themselves from COVID-19. So to stop the spread of it, over 500 Walmart employees were expected, for example, not to report to their jobs on Wednesday to signal the launch of this new mapping system that enables workers to report when colleagues have contracted the virus. And then anonymously, they can report it when poor safety conditions exist in their stores. So clearly, this is good for you. It's another line of defense of somebody taking this seriously. So when you're shopping, hopefully the people around you all have that similar feeling, and we can get through this a heck of a lot faster if that is the case. Be great. Take away the fears and just pump in the positivity. All right, speaking of numbers and positive numbers and not such great numbers, the economy shrank 4.8% in the first quarter. Consumer spending off the map slid. I mean, just wasn't happening. Because people could go online for one and get it cheaper and not risk anything. The pandemic has set that number. Because this is the worst performance in more than a decade. The gross domestic product, the value of all goods and services produced in the U.S., the seasonally adjusted annual rate is 4.8% from January to the March period. Oof. What a decline in the GDP. It's forecast about 3.8%. So the numbers are certainly ugly there, but it is about moving forward, staying on the journey, and figuring out what that's going to look like in the next couple of months, further down the line. Sporting events that are canceled are going to be out, and some they may try to do, they being the prospective leagues and the owner of the franchises, whether they want to take any kind of a chance or not. And if the answer is yes, then the good news is while you have so much competition from cable news and streaming and binging and all of the vocabulary that goes with it, there still are people that do it, I'll call it the old-fashioned way. So doing it the old-fashioned way is a lot different in rolling up your sleeves than hitting some buttons. And I'm not downplaying the other thing, but it's just a whole different thing versus the other. So isn't that interesting? And Hollywood is feeling the pinch because of the binge-watching, because of people turning to Hollywood for something good to watch. And once they watch that one show, then they go on to another show, and you get how the bouncing ball works. That's why Netflix profits just completely soared. While they were struggling with consumers, they certainly weren't struggling in this last quarter because people who never heard of Netflix were suddenly invested in buying into the company. Knowing that rain, shine, or an interrupting dog would not stop them, it would just be unacceptable. And, you know, I kind of agree with that. All right, let's run down some headlines. I always feel like this show, I don't feel like it, I know this show after doing it for 15 years. This show is all about you. I'm just a conduit. If you have something great to say or tell us about a hero in your hometown, send it to me at katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact and let your story fly. Let your story fly. I think this is the saddest thing. 1 in 6 nursing homes report an outbreak of the coronavirus. And, of course, what is the reason? The rise is partly because of new information and not having that information. And then some states not publicly releasing the names of the affected nursing homes. Because how many nursing homes are in this country and what kind of protection are people, what kind of protection are people getting, using, thinking about, all of that. There's just so many elements, I think, that play into this. So having the drug hope and starting the show with a phrase that you'll hear, I think, much more, remdesivir, I think is significant because we're looking for that vaccine. We're looking for the antibody tests. We're looking to help other people. But finding that vaccine, creating that vaccine is so big. So about 2 weeks ago, we had my pal Tracy Brown on, and she was telling us about some COVID-19 scams, and there are lots of blackmail schemes that are out there. According to one report I read, the pandemic, of course, has created an environment that is ripe for this kind of thing. Fraudulent activity, leveraging fears of the virus to perpetrate all kinds of malicious things that you can tell people. But scams and being alert to scams, and Tracy talked about it, people are losing thousands of dollars because they hear something and what they hear is not true. People selling fake personal protective equipment to hospitals, healthcare unions, and government agencies. The demand for testing equipment, the need for new testing measures has presented a vulnerability, and fraudsters like to bump that open. And they can take advantage of it. Just sound intelligent when you talk, have a document all together. Somebody who's busy looking at that, poof, you're scammed. They got you. Because they're in the house. You let them in the house. And that's, I think, what's tough for a lot of people is determining what that looks like. Determining what it looks like. All right, one thing that's always fascinating to talk about on this show is space. So the U.S. Air Force's X-37B space plane could leave Earth for 2 years. Imagine what you would learn in 2 years. Because the Air Force is getting ready to launch its sixth mission with this mysterious X-37B space plane. And this space plane could last up to 2 years, or slightly over 2 years, the number that I mentioned. And it's a, you know, they've got a mini shuttle that's 29 feet long to test new technology. And the X-37B has a lot of things in common with Russian space weapons and Chinese space weapons. And the first blast off for the first mission, April 2010. That's the first time they actually launched any of this. Satellites go for a decade or so in orbit, and this X-37B sounds so, what a name for it, X-37B, it's on the launching pad. It's in orbit for like a year or two, right? So in 2010, it lasted 224 days. Do the math. This would be record-setting. They think it's capable of a lot of different things. And they're anxious to launch it. All right, hang with us. I will meet you for some good convo on the other side.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
They're now trying the first randomized placebo-controlled trial of the IV drug remdesivir. The nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, calls the early findings good news.
What it has proven is that A drug can block this virus.
He says when compared to a placebo, the drug shortened hospitalized patient recovery time from 15 to 11 days.
The data shows that remdesivir has a clear-cut, significant, positive effect.
Fauci says the drug will become part of the standard of care for coronavirus. With almost 1,034,000 confirmed cases of the virus in the U.S., President Trump says he'll not extend the federal government social distancing guidelines that expire on Thursday.
They'll be fading out because now the governors are doing it.
This is USA Radio News. A few states are starting to slowly open up their economy. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has more.
Where more than 60,000 people have been tested for the coronavirus. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves updates us on the situation down in Mississippi.
Well, we're making progress in Mississippi. Thanks to the president's leadership, we are beginning to reopen our economy. We didn't close down like many other states did, but we are very intelligently moving forward based upon data to reopen our economy. You know, we believe in our state that we understand that we have a public health crisis. We're going to have approximately 239 fatalities from this virus that is going to be announced later this morning. But in addition to that, we have 150,000 Mississippians that are out of work, that have lost their jobs over the last 4 to 5 weeks. So we have not only a public health crisis, but an economic crisis in our state as well. And we have got to get our economy moving again.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Excited on this version of Author's Corner, and you know how much I love books and what a voracious reader I am, and this is why we have Author's Corner. But we're going to one of my favorite places, Australia, and this is the kind of genre that really pulls me in, and it pulls my hubs in too. So both of us are big fans of this, and we're fans of her book now as well too. Bron Downs joins us now. She's written a book called Can't See Around Corners, and it is, okay, ready for this, supernatural thriller is a great way to describe it. And I love the fact that so often when we talk about supernatural thrillers, yes, women are in them, they're female characters, but you got two really powerful, in a sense, female characters here. So I don't want to steal all her thunder down under, so to speak. Let's go to Bron right now. Hey, Bron, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Kate. That's my pleasure, and thank you for having me on your show.
All right, so supernatural thriller, I can think of some plot sort of in my head, but I think your plot was brilliant. And we don't want to give it all away, but you do have female characters. And just give us the gist of what the story is about.
Well, there's two fraternal twins, Annie and Sharon. They are born in opulent wealth. They're the only children of Edna and Warren Cass, and because they're the only daughters, they are the pride and joy of their parents. They've accomplished their studying for their degrees at university, and they eagerly look forward to their once-in-a-lifetime trip to Europe. Once the sisters are abroad, their love for one another is obvious to the bystander, but once they're overseas, malicious feelings dwell profoundly beneath their facade, and deceit and treachery and wickedness develop intensely between them. And with their overprotective parents' absence, their relationship advances into the vilest possible nightmare, changing their lives forever.
Ooh, changing their lives forever. I like it. So they're born to wealth, and here you'd think it'd just be an easy path, but yet there's something that goes on between them. So how'd you come up with this story? Is this something that's kind of popped into your head?
Yeah, pretty much. I love supernatural thriller movies. I'm a bit of a movie buff. I just sort of, the girls go and end up in Romania, where in Romania it's steeped with folklore, legends and myths. Mm. And this is where the supernatural side of the story comes into it, because with those legends and folklore, they come together with modern society and how these two stylish but sports sisters deal with the dark and mystic phenomena they encounter while they're overseas.
Yeah, it's wild. And I know that we talked off the air and you mentioned to me this is your second book, but your first book was nothing like this one, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And my pen name's Josie Townsend. So if the listeners wanted to, you know, purchase my books, it's not under my Christian name. I've actually got a pen name, Josie Townsend. So
Going to say that, Josie Townsend. So make sure that that's where you go for Can't See Around Corners. You can get it on Amazon. And the first book was something that happened that was real. So there are two different, very different kind of genres.
Yeah, there is. And they usually say that when authors start writing, they usually start writing something that they already know. And then I sort of stepped out of that little safe circle, writing what you know, into something more creative. And I came up with this story. And once the reader has read the whole book, the question for them to ask themselves is, what is real and what isn't?
Oh, I love that. What is real and what's not? Did you, when you had that story and you came up with the idea, did you find that, did it pour out of you? Was it easy? And I don't want to say easy, but did it just sort of pour out of you when you were writing this?
Yeah, pretty much, Kate. It was, the storyline was very definite, but it was sort of filling in the pages and keeping the story flowing. So as the reader didn't get bored or bogged down in one particular, you know, scene in the book. So it's very flowing, and I've had some really positive feedbacks from friends and family, and also critics stating that, it's an easy book to read. It's, it flows and it keeps you on the edge of your seat.
Do you have a thought of what you hope the readers take away from this?
Just that it was a really great story. I've had people say that while they've been reading it and they've had to put it down and go whatever, but what if they're not reading the book, they're thinking about it. They're thinking about the story, and if they're at work or they're out doing their, you know, chores or whatever, they've said that once they started reading the book, they put it down, but they keep thinking about it, you know, the story.
Well, that's the best compliment.
It reminds you, know.
Yeah, that's the best compliment you could possibly get, that people are ready to get back to the story if they have to go to work or they're doing something else. They're thinking about it. And again, we want to make sure that you look under the right name. It's Josie Townsend, Can't See Around Corners. And, of course, we're talking about the two sisters, supernatural thriller, and it's one of those can't put it down kind of things. And you said you really like supernatural, the supernatural world and that whole thing. Do you have, is there somebody that's a favorite of yours? Like I like Stephen King. I like a lot of different writers and movies.
Yeah, Stephen King and Steven Spielberg are my favorites. Yeah.
You know, and your book is almost, I mean, this would be the wildest of the wild, but why not dream big? Your book would be suited to a movie, to a script. Did you think of that at all?
Yeah, I have approached, my publishers have approached the movie world people. I don't even know what you call them, but yeah, so I haven't received anything back as yet, but yeah, I mean, like, the book doesn't just go into a holiday and all these, you know, freaky deaky things happen. It's also, there is murder in it. There's also a court scene in it. So there's other characters that come into play in the story. So it's not just about the two girls, but it's about actually it's quite in depth what happens to them in Romania and around Transylvania. So Bran Castle, Dracula's castle's involved in it as well. So, yeah, and that's where the supernatural sort of starts to come into play in the story.
Isn't it funny how much the place that you go, it becomes a part of this? And I think of Transylvania, Romania as one of those kinds of places, and of course it's been portrayed that way. So when did that automatically come to you as, ooh, this is the place where they're going to go?
Yeah, well, I did a lot of research on Bran Castle, and a lot of supernatural, stories and films have come from that Dracula kind of image that Bran Castle has, based on Vladimir III, who actually owned the castle. And a lot of his trinkets, his rings and his necklaces and that, they all had a curse attached to them. So because he was known as the Prince of Blood.
Yeah.
And that's how Dracula sort of, yeah. So there's the supernatural side of my story comes from Bran Castle, but it's not to do with Dracula as per se. It's not to do with blood or anything like that. It's more a trinket that actually has a curse attached to it, and one of the sisters finds it, and she takes it as her own. And this is where all the supernatural trouble and problems and what happens thereafter is, because she's actually possessed this pendant. And she'd sort of stolen it from the Bran Castle.
Ooh.
And that's where all her troubles start.
Ooh, a stolen pendant. That reminds me of things like, you know, when you go to Hawaii, they say don't pick up a lava rock and take it with you. So what happens is the post office gets a lot of lava sent back to them because people think it brings them bad luck. So don't pick up the trinket in Josie's book, Josie Townsend's Can't See Around Corners, because it might come back to haunt you. So that's brilliant that you thought of that plot. Was it fun working out that plot? That's a great twist.
Yeah, I loved it. And as I said, I could orchestrate what happens to these two girls. I could orchestrate what happens to the other characters. Yeah, it was really, really interesting. I so enjoyed the researching Romania. It really wasn't a place that, you know, you have on your bucket list. Oh, I want to go to England or I want to go to America. Romania is a place that sort of a bit still in the dark and a bit forgotten, still sort of, you know, back in old world time. And just researching that area and that, I just found that so interesting, and the Carpathian Mountains and that, you know, for these two sisters to be, you know, on their adventurous holiday, you know, seeking out all these really old world sort of villages and the folklore that's, you know, steeped in these villages. They really are, even today, still living in back in time, you know what I mean? They're kind of, and you can see the time worn into their clothes and stuff, because they're still very peasant-like.
Yeah. Yeah, but the images are so vivid, absolutely, and you certainly paint them in the book Can't See Around Corners, and again, you can get that on Amazon, Josie Townsend. When you were growing up, did you think you were going to be a writer?
No, I didn't. I used to write poems. I had a book of poems. That's how I sort of started writing. But, yeah, I'm a bit of a geek. I like words, and I love the way words have the power to make you feel happy, sad, scared. You know, and if they're put together properly, they can give you all these different emotions.
Boy, isn't that the truth. And certainly I think that's one of the takeaways of your book, that you will feel it. You will feel the emotions of the book, and that's why people can't put it down. It's the perfect time to read a book like this, and when people are looking around for something, look at this book, Can't See Around Corners, and I've said it now several times throughout the interview, you can pick it up easy on Amazon.com or any place where great books are sold. Josie, a.k.a., that's your pin name, Josie Townsend. Bron, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Not a problem, Kate. Thank you for having me, and I hope you and your listeners stay safe.
Of a crime.
crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Attention, gardeners. If you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Crossing the stage, I know you can feel the excitement. Shake it up, turn it on, shake it up, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, how I miss baseball. I used to cover the Texas Rangers, and I'm a lifetime Philadelphia Phillies fan, and of course the nemesis of the Phillies, the Dodgers, would be on that list. But I also cover the Dodgers, too. Many of you know that. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us on this show. Ron Porterfield, what a pleasure to have him on the show. He's in his third year as the Director of Player Health with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he's quite a resume, including head athletic trainer for the Tampa Bay Rays. He was also an assistant athletic trainer before that. Needless to say, he's really worked his way up through the ranks. So we are thrilled to have him and talk about the coronavirus and also the mission of the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainers Society. Ron, thanks for popping on.
Hey, Kate, thanks for having me tonight. It's my pleasure to be on here.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, like, my family just really ripped me to shreds when I covered the Dodgers, but I did like it, and people were good to me. And even Tommy Lasorda, he'd be sitting in the crowd, he'd say, "What's going on? How are you doing, young lady?" So it was fun.
Yeah, it's a great organization, good people.
Very good people. So, you know, we look at what's going on with the coronavirus and the question mark we all live under, and people want to know about baseball and, oh, gosh, and, you know, where are we going? And how much does this kind of mess with our mental health? It's so important because everybody's talking about that with this global pandemic, and I think it's the same thing, obviously, too, for baseball players.
Oh, absolutely. It's put us in disarray. I mean, we're pretty much in turmoil right now, you know, having to do a lot of virtual work with our players, following up on phone calls, on being on Zoom calls, and all kinds of different conference calls, and working out of our house. And it's different, I'll tell you that. I've been in this game for 33 years, and I've never experienced anything even close to this. The thing closest that I've probably been through was the strike of 94-95, but this can't even hold a candle to that. So.
Yeah, so the good thing is, though, you're connected, you're trying to help them get through it, because for an athlete, it's all about the rhythm. And since I went through season after season with lots of different players in a different role, but watching them, that's the clock we live by, you know, that, okay, you're on the road, you have this series, and now everything is just at a standstill, and that's probably what a lot of them are grappling with, right?
Oh, absolutely. Probably the most superstitious individuals superstitious athletes you'll ever work with. Because you take them out of their routine and it's like a fish out of water. And, you know, they're all struggling. We're in pretty good shape as far as our organization is concerned. Having been into this now for about a month and, you know, injury wise and things like that, we're in a pretty good shape as far as that's concerned. And our players have really taken to it and done a really good job at their workouts and everything else. So I think we're in a pretty good shape in preparation to come back at some point and get back into playing baseball.
Yeah, there's something that we can learn, though, I think, from what you're telling the players in these conversations and what people listening to this show who aren't professional athletes are dealing with. What are some of the strategies for people struggling with mental health that they could possibly, Ron, implement that the Dodgers are doing to ensure that they're okay?
Well, basically we have an organization, you know, called PBAS, which is the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainer Society. So through that, you know, we have a big mission to serve as an educational resource for, you know, not only major league athletic trainers, but also the minor league athletic trainers. And we've developed a pretty good relationship with the Department of Labor and use their resources to help us on the grounds of, they have a pretty good toolkit of resources in mental health and awareness. And they basically have what they call the four A's. It's a building awareness and the supportive culture, providing accommodations to our employees, offering assistance to them, and just ensuring that they have access to treatment. So a lot of it is, you know, when we call our players, it's not just finding out that they're doing their workouts, but finding out how they're feeling, you know, how's your family, and treating them almost as a human being versus treating them as a robot that goes out there and performs and entertains people. That almost look like they're not a human character, if you will. You know, we take them for granted, thinking that they're just robots out there and can do the same thing over and over and handle the stresses. And they're not. They're human beings that have the same type of feelings as you and I. Getting down to earth with them and really trying to get on a level, show them that we really care about them and that we're interested in what's going on in their lifetime.
Yeah, there you go. So just talking to them like they're human beings, not superstars or, again, professional athletes. And, of course, you've worked with so many, as you said, 30-plus years, and I just brushed a little bit over your resume and how you started and some of the ways that you moved. You moved your way up, obviously, from the minor leagues. I would be remiss not to ask you this. I mean, all these great experiences that you had, including you worked through the Houston Astros organization, too, and then I mentioned the Tampa Bay Rays. What was that like for you? Did you think that this is where you would end up in this role with Tampa Bay and with the Dodgers?
No, I really had no idea. I've met so many people in this game, and you honestly, you never know, you know, who's going to be your next boss. The majority of several of the bosses that I have at this point in time that are above me are former players that I had. You know, that going back, I would have, you know, I knew they were smart and intelligent individuals as players and, you know, probably had a chance to go into the coaching ranks or the front office ranks. But, you know, here I am, and it's funny to see these individuals that I had as players and that I was tampering on about getting the work in, and now they're, you know, expecting me to handle my position and answer to them. So it's kind of come full circle, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've had many, many experiences, and I've learned a great deal, and that's what I try to do now is be a sounding board and you know, hopefully be able to teach some of our younger athletic trainers that are coming out and just be in situations that, you know, that are new to them, but I've experienced it, help guide them through those.
Yeah, and so you mentioned PBATS, and has that helped? Because, you know, when you look at the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainer Society and bringing up some of the younger people through the ranks, I mean, that's got to be part of the mission. Is that, that certainly is one of them, but what are other objectives for the group?
Well, we serve as we provide continuing education for not only athletic trainers as it relates to our professions, but we help them to improve the understanding of just sports medicine so that they can better promote that health and develop and attain a better treatment for the professional baseball player. Our full membership, which entails all athletic trainers, both major league and minor league, are looked at as an integral, you know, pretty integral part of the fabric of the game of baseball in itself. And just as importantly, you know, we're trusted as advisors to the athletes. So over the years, you know, we've worked to share these expertise, not only in the clubhouse, but outside of the clubhouse and the ballpark. And we're proud of the internships that we've created, with a lot of individuals from other countries, programs that we've addressed. We've tried to create programs that educate the American people on childhood obesity, disability inclusion, mental health, and the health of the well-being of America's youth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think PBAS is a fabulous organization. I learned about it a couple of years ago. All right, so we got to throw in a funny here. So maybe it's not funny. What is your favorite baseball movie of all time?
Favorite baseball movie? The Sandlot.
The Sandlot. I love The Sandlot.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, my son loves it and watched it so much that I really took a liking to it, and I just love some of the clips in it, some of the T-shirts that have come out from it, and I just think that was pretty much how we were when we were kids, so I really like that movie.
Yeah, me too. I like Sandlot. That's in my top five. I like The Natural. That's a throwback. That's an oldie, but it's a goodie to pull out. I like League of Their Own because I think it's funny and it was true what happened. And I met some of the women that played on those teams when I was with the Rangers. So there's a lot of good ones out there. I'm ready for another one to come out, though, and I'm ready for baseball, Ron. So let's get through this, and thank you for what you do, and thanks for joining us on the show.
Kate, thank you, and we're getting ready to play, so I'm optimistic that we'll be playing again at some point this summer.
Yay, I love that. I am too. Thanks, Ron.
Kate, thank you.
Coming up next, we're going to Virginia Beach. How are they faring there with the coronavirus? We'll get an update.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudyarco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.